Good evening. When our Lord Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he was to be taken by wicked hands and nailed to that tree, naked and exposed before men, made to be a curse and made to be sin, bearing our sins in his own body, knowing full well that he'd bear the full wrath and fury of God as our substitute, our Lord prayed this prayer to his Father in heaven. He said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. As thou wilt. It was not possible for that cup of God's wrath and justice to be passed from him. He must fulfill all that he was sent to this world to accomplish in order to redeem his people. And so he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He obeyed his Father, and soon he would take the sword of God's justice into himself as the sinner's substitute. I invite you to turn, if you would please, tonight to the book of Zechariah in chapter 13. And it's in Zechariah in chapter 13 that we find our Lord Jesus set forth plainly as that good shepherd of the sheep who was smitten by the sword of God's justice and wrath against sin because he was made sin. He was made to bear the sins of his people as his very own. In Zechariah 13 and in verse 7, we read these words, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Awake, O sword. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Now, the first thing that we see here is this sword of God's justice. Awake, O sword. And this is not a literal sword, but it's a figure of God's holy justice against and wrath against sin. And the picture here is of a sword being pulled out of its sheath to be used in battle. And what is it that our God requires of the sinner? His death. Spiritual death, physical death, and without Christ, eternal death. Now, the second thing we see here is that the Lord is the shepherd of his sheep, and he's called my shepherd. God chose and appointed his own son to be our shepherd before the world was. And God says here to smite the shepherd, to strike him down with the sword of his holy justice. He must die that his people might live. And Christ is that rock that was smitten in the desert. Do you remember when those tribes of Israel were out there in the wilderness dying of thirst? And there was nothing to drink. And we can only imagine the worry on the faces of all of those people. Just imagine if your child was fainting from thirst. You're out there in the desert, your child's going to die, and maybe next it will be your brother or your sister or your husband or your wife, or maybe it'll be you. And everyone is just fainting from thirst. And then the Lord tells Moses to strike that rock, and he strikes that rock, and then water comes out of that rock. It just comes gushing out of that rock by the power of God. Well, that rock was Christ. We read that in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and in verse 4, where Paul wrote these words by divine inspiration, and they did drink the same spiritual drink. He said, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so, in a type or a figure, that rock that was smitten by Moses was the Lord Jesus. That rock was smitten. It was stricken with a forceful blow by that rod, and water gushed out. Life-giving water. And those who were thirsty, they ran to that water. They didn't just stand there. And the Lord Jesus Christ was smitten by God, just like Isaiah said he would be. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Our Lord was smitten by God the Father, struck down by his wrath, cut off from the living, made to be a curse when he bore our sins in his own body on that cursed tree. And God said in his justice, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Now consider this, brethren. Here is a man who had never sinned. He never sinned in thought, nor in word, nor in deed. He never did anything in his life except for that which pleased God, and yet God killed him. He said, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd." That one, that good and faithful shepherd of the sheep, that one who raised his hand up and took an oath to deliver his people before the world was, that one who is equal to God, that one who is himself God and man in one person. God said, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow." Our Lord Jesus Christ had always been with his Father in heaven, rejoicing in him, enjoying sweet fellowship with him, as one who is equal with him, one who is his fellow. And even when he came to this world as the God-man, all through his days as he walked on this earth, he enjoyed an unbroken and wonderful state of communion and fellowship with his Father. But when he was made sin, when the sins of his people were laid on him, all of that sweet communion, all of that sweet fellowship had to be broken. And the sword of God's justice had to smite him. If God spared his own son, where would his people be? Everyone would be lost. The sword of God's justice had to be plunged into our Savior's heart, or his chosen people could not be forgiven. Now, when it says here, "And the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones," that refers to God's elect being tried by fire, so to speak, so that they would come out like gold. Look here at verse 8. It says, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them." Now watch this. The Lord says, "I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." Amen. In the midst of their trials and in spite of their sin, our Lord will own them and they will own him. There is a remnant according to the election of God's grace, who are chosen by God, whom God has redeemed by the blood of his Son, and whom he shall call by the power of his Spirit. Amen. It says here that they shall call upon his name, and he will hear them, and he'll call them his people. And it says, they shall say before God and before men, "The Lord is my God." Yes. The Lord is my God. Now, does that describe you? Are you one who has been called of God to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? If the Lord is your God, then the truth is, brethren, you will be refined by trials and temptations. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And our Lord Jesus also said this in John chapter 16. He said to his disciples, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Yes. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so our Lord Jesus, even though it was him who would suffer the wrath of men and suffer the wrath of God as our substitute, yet his main concern at that moment was to comfort his sheep in the midst of their trials and tribulations. What a wonderful Savior our Lord is. And even right now as we speak, and in this gospel age, our Lord is still speaking to his chosen people words of comfort through his gospel. All right, now let's see the fulfillment of this over in the New Testament. Turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. And we see this as well in Mark and in Luke. But in Matthew chapter 26, we see the fulfillment of what we've just read in Zechariah, that the Lord our shepherd was going to be smitten, and that the sheep would be scattered. And so look here at verse 17. Matthew 26 and verse 17. "Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. and I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now watch this. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So here we have the Lord and his disciples observing the Passover, which was always a type and a figure of that which our Lord came here to accomplish, the saving of his people. Just like the Israelites who were brought out of Egypt, redeemed out of Egypt by a strong hand, our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save his elect from all of their sins. Look again at verse 30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And then what did Peter say? Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And then look at what it says in verse 35. It says, Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And you know what happened next. Our Lord went to pray, and he told his disciples to wait and watch with him, and they all fell asleep. And our Lord said, The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And our Lord said, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he said to his disciples, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand that the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while our Lord was speaking those words, Judas came to him with a large group of men with swords and staves, and Judas betrayed him with a kiss. And we read in verse 50, they laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now, one of our Lord's disciples, Peter, took out his sword and tried to kill one of the men that took the Lord Jesus. But he only managed to cut his ear off, and Luke's gospel tells us that our Lord healed him. And the Lord also told Peter to put up his sword, because all they that take the sword shall die by the sword. Now, that does not mean that it's wrong to wage war or to enforce the law. That's not what's in view here. In Romans 13 and in verse 4, it says that rulers are ministers of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. It says, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must also needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. And so our Lord was not saying it's sinful to bear the sword in all circumstances, but that the weapons of our warfare as Christians, they're not carnal weapons, but spiritual.
Amen.
And that his kingdom is not of this world. In John chapter 18, you don't have to turn there, but our Lord said to Pilate, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered of the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And so our Lord told Peter to put up his sword. And then he says here in verse 53, look at this. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Amen. You see, they thought that when Messiah came, he would overthrow the Romans and set up an earthly kingdom. Even our Lord's disciples thought that. But that's not what our Lord came to do. He came to this world to lay down his life as a sacrifice for sin. And so he must be taken by wicked hands, according to God's will, but by wicked hands, and crucified and slain. It must take place. And so again, he says here in verse 53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then," he says, "but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" And in the same hour, it says here, said Jesus to the multitudes, "Are you come out as against a thief, with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hand on me. But all this was done," our Lord said, "that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Amen. And then watch what it says here. "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." According to that prophecy, "then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Now here we have the fulfillment of that which Zechariah prophesied in Zechariah 13 and verse 7. And our Lord says here, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." And you know what's interesting about this? Our Lord made this statement, and he may have had multiple reasons. First of all, as a man, though our Lord is God in human flesh, he is a real man. And so as a man, and as a faithful man, as a man who always trusted in God, our Lord found comfort and strength in the midst of his troubles, knowing that all things are of God, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, and knowing that God's purpose can never be thwarted. It always comes to pass. And so that's the first thing. Our Lord himself found comfort in that. But then here's the second thing. That statement he made was for his disciples. It was to comfort them and that they might be reminded that God is in control of all things, that his purpose always comes to pass, and that it's all for their good. And then thirdly, this statement was made to convict and accuse his enemies who sought to destroy him. "But all this was done that the scriptures, the prophets, might be fulfilled." What a comfort that is to those who love God, but what a terror it should be to those who are his enemies and those who despise him. It says here in the next verse, in verse 57, "And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." If they had only known, if they'd known who it was that they laid their hands on, if they'd known why he came and what his purpose was. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. "But as it is written," Paul said, "but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." If God had not revealed these things to us, brethren, we would have been just as lost as those men who sought to destroy the Lord Jesus. And so we have nothing to boast in except for God's grace. Amen. And as far as his disciples were concerned, it looked like all hope had been lost. So they forsook him. But brethren, thank God that he did not forsake them. Amen. But our Lord gave himself willingly for our sake. Now, our Lord had told Peter that very night before the cock crew, he would deny him three times. And that's just what Peter did. And when he heard the sound of that rooster crowing, he wept bitterly. But what was it that our Lord said to Peter after all those things were fulfilled and he'd risen again? He asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And what did Peter say? He said, "You know all things. You know that I love you." And our Lord said, "Peter, feed my lambs." He said, "Feed my sheep." And so Peter was forgiven. Our Lord did not hold anything against him. He was forgiven. And it was all because he, that is our Lord Jesus, had paid the sin debt not only for Peter, but for all of his sheep. Our shepherd was smitten of God for our sakes, and now we are free. Now, turn over to John's Gospel, if you would, please, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And after all those things that the prophets were moved by God's Spirit to write had all come to pass, after our Lord was taken and accused by false witnesses, which David prophesied of in Psalm 27, saying, "Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me." After he had endured being spat upon and beaten by those who accused him, according to Isaiah, who wrote these words of our Savior, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." And after our Lord was nailed to that tree, our Lord, who is himself the tree of life, was nailed to that tree. And when darkness fell over all the land for the space of 3 hours that day, that one who is the light, that one who said, "I am the light of the world," was covered in darkness.
Yes, sir.
Bearing the full wrath of his Father in heaven, the darling of heaven, made to bear the sins of his chosen people. And out of that darkness, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And why was he forsaken? Because of that sin. That sin that was ours, that was made to be his. And our Lord was forsaken that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled, and that all righteousness might be fulfilled in the death and in the shed blood of Christ on the cross as the sinner's substitute. In John chapter 19, if you're with me, we read in verse 28. Look at verse 28. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." In Psalm 69, again, David prophesied of our Lord's sufferings in our room instead, and he said, "They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And so we see this here in the next verse, in verse 29. "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth." Now watch this. "When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Now, what did he mean when he said, "It is finished"? He meant, "It is finished."
Amen.
He did not mean that he did all he could and the rest is up to us. He said, "It is finished."
Amen.
And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost, and God was satisfied with what he accomplished.
That's exactly right.
Now, how do we know that our God was satisfied with what he accomplished? Our Lord rose again. He could not have been brought back to life if our sins were still laid on him. And so when he was raised, he arose from the grave without sin and ascended to his throne in heaven. And that's where he is now. He's ruling and overruling all things for his glory and for the good of all of his chosen people. Now, this is our hope, is it not?
Yes, sir.
And this is the gospel we preach, that the Lord Jesus Christ did not try to save anyone, but he saved his people from sin with his own precious blood. And because of his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, our God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above all names, and we bow to him. Now, right now as we speak, there are multitudes who are celebrating what they call a Passover feast, who blatantly deny that it's Christ himself who was portrayed in that feast that our Lord gave to Moses. In fact, the President of the United States and his family right now are attending a Passover feast hosted by a bunch of rabbis who hate Jesus Christ and have absolutely no spiritual understanding. And there are multitudes right now as we speak who observe the Lord's table, who call themselves Christians, who also deny that our Lord by himself accomplished redemption for his chosen people. They believe that our Lord gave his life for all men and shed his blood for all men, and yet some go to hell. But thank God that's not true.
Amen.
Thank God that our Lord did not try to save us, but actually saved us. There is no hope in redemption made possible. Our only hope is redemption accomplished. And so if we come to this table, we must come to it, as Paul said, discerning the Lord's body.
Amen.
Discerning the Lord's body, understanding what all of this points to, our Lord who was broken for us, who died in our room in our stead, forever satisfying God's justice, so that there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. There is no condemnation to them who are what? to them who which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, to those who do not look to their own flesh or the works of their flesh for acceptance with God, but who by the Spirit of God working in us look only to Christ and to what he accomplished. If that describes you, then brethren, in closing, this table is for you. This bread and this wine are given to us as a memorial of that one who loved us and gave himself for us. We are to show forth his death till he come. And like our pastor said this morning, he's coming against you. And so may the Lord give us grace to wait patiently for his return as we show forth his death till he come. Amen.
Amen. Amen.